I want to thank Rabbi Bacon and Rabbi Schnall for putting together this entire program, both here in this Beis Medrash and also across the street, and to thank Rabbi Penner for his leadership. We're living now in very difficult times, times that require introspection, thinking, understanding, care, safety, and concern. What I'd like to do is to divide my talk into two parts. One part is reflecting bechlal on the notion of anti-Semitism, and the second is to give divrei chizuk to b'nei Torah, to b'nei yeshiva, in dealing with difficulties that confront us, especially now today as we begin the new zman and begin to throw ourselves back into the olam haTorah and to appreciate what that means and to be able to do so with integrity and with substance in spite of everything that we face in the world around us. I hope you all have a copy of the handout, B'nai Torah Reflect on Anti-Semitism. I'm going to be learning from these makoros together with you. The first yesod is, historically, that this is nothing necessarily new, even in the United States. So as we begin to reflect on the metzias that face us now, it's important for us to understand that this is not a reality that we've never encountered before, even in the United States. As a matter of fact, within the first 7.5 minutes that Jews showed up in the United States in the 1650s, already then the first Shalom Aleichem Baruch Haba is anti-Semitism. And there's a letter that I bring you at the top of the first page that was written by Peter Stuyvesant. Peter Stuyvesant was the representative of the Dutch West India Company here in New Amsterdam, which became New York. Shortly thereafter, the letter is written September 22nd, 1654, shortly after the Jews first arrived, the very, very first time in 1654. And Peter Stuyvesant sends a letter back home to the Balabatim, who are in charge of New Amsterdam, to tell them that this is mamish nivel, that the Jews are coming here, who needs the Jews, they're despicable, it's a pasgarnish, it's a bazillion for us that Jews are coming here. The first second we're here, we're already greeted with this kind of derision and this kind of rejection. The Jews who have arrived would nearly all like to remain here. But learning that they, with their customary usury and deceitful trading with the Christians, were very repugnant, and also to the people having the most affection for you, those of us who care for you find this race repugnant. The deaconry, also fearing that owing to their present indigence, they might become a charge in the coming winter, we have, for the benefit of this weak and newly developing place and the land in general, deemed it useful to require them in a friendly way to depart. Now, Belusha Nikia, you know, in a nice way, we're requiring them to depart. Praying also most seriously in this connection for ourselves and the general community that this deceitful race, hateful enemies and blasphemers of Christianity, not be allowed further to infect. You hear the Lushan, to infect. Deceitful, blasphemy, to infect this beautiful Olam HaChadosh called New Amsterdam. So Jews show up in this city in 1654, Shalom Aleichem, get out of here, we don't want you. And there happens to be a history of anti-Semitism in the United States. Now's not the time. General Ulysses S. Grant, probably in the most disgusting anti-Semitic act probably officially in American history in 1861, kicked Jews out of territory under his control. There was a Catholic priest by the name of Father Coughlin in the 1930s who spewed anti-Semitism. He was on the radio. He had 20 million listeners. So this is not something new. This is something, regretfully, that we have had to deal with even in this country. Although I think we would say that what we're facing today is particularly egregious, especially in light of the fact that for the last number of decades, Baruch Hashem, Pachot HaYoter, things were much better in this country. So the present mitzias in which we find ourselves does behoove us to try to understand vos tutzach, what's going on here, what is happening, how do we understand it, how do we react to it, and particularly for us as B'nai Torah and B'nai Yeshiva, so what do we do about it in terms of maintaining our commitments, our connection, our learning, our Talmud Torah, our Yira Shamay. There's a long history in our tradition before the United States. You saw in the first beginning of the packet that was handed out to you earlier in the Haggadah, Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdem Oleinu L'Chaloseinu, this is not with Peter Stuyvesant, was Machadish, a new Ha'ora. We already have this going all the way back. Heinam L'Vadad Yishkon, we know that we're alone. Bagoyim Lo Yeschashav, we're alone, we're separate. And I want to begin, and I want to focus primarily on the Yaakov-Esav encounter. In the Haggadah, it's the Yaakov-Lavan encounter. And if you got to the Netziv in She'er Yisrael, you notice that he makes a great deal out of the Yaakov-Lavan encounter. But paradigmatically, it's the Yaakov-Esav encounter. So we know that Yaakov left Esav. The last time they met one another, it was with tension and difficulty. And now Yaakov hears that Esav is coming, and he prepares himself. We're at the bottom of the first page. And Shalom Aleichem, they're now together. Vayoretz Esav lekroso, vayechabkehu, vayipol al tzavara, vayishakehu, vayifku. Rashi notes that their dots nokod olav, that in the Torah their dots on vayishakehu. And what's pshat in the dots? The dot is zonish meinin, what you think it means. Vayishakehu is not vayishakehu. It's not what you might think it means. It's a hint that we have to go beyond the pshat and to learn a little bit differently. So the Rashi quotes a machlokes. The first opinion, v'yesh cholkin b'davar zeh b'braisa disifriyam ba'aloyscha. Yesha dorsha nekudu zu lomar shalo nashko b'chalibo. It says vayishakehu. No, it's not vayishakehu. The dot says it's not vayishakehu. You think he kissed him? You think he cared about him? No, he just went through the motions. Amar Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and this is nageya to us. Halacha hu biyadua she'esav sone leYaakov. Halacha hu. It's a halacha by us. What's more important than a halacha? We live our lives by halacha. Halacha biyadua. It's well known. Everybody knows it's bavus. It's like obvious. It's known that Esav sone leYaakov. And therefore it can't be vayishakehu. The pshat can't be vayishakehu. It can't be vayishakehu because obviously it's not vayishakehu because it's a halacha biyodua Esav sone leYaakov. So what are the dots? The dots are coming to tell us, Taka, you know what? This time, vayishakehu. Continues in Rashi, Ella, this time, shenichmeru rachama ba'osa shav v'nashka b'cholibo. The pshat is not vayishakehu, says Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Because halacha biyadua, halacha biyadua, tzvei l'shoynis, halacha biyadua, Esav son Eliyakov. So vayishakehu can't be vayishakehu. Why the dots? Adarabba, itaka this time means vayishakehu. What does it mean, halacha hu biyadua she'esav son Eliyakov? I think at the end of the day, the beginning and the middle and the end of what we're facing is, because azoy idis, that's it. It's a halacha, Esav son Eliyakov. I've been hearing all kinds of explanation. It's because there was an asifa in Flatbush 2 weeks ago, and I listened to it very carefully, and they're all tining because we don't really care about Eretz Yisrael, because we're this, because we're this, because we're this. I'm not sure there's a because. I'm not sure that I know or anybody knows why Rabbeinu Shel Olam fears the world the way he does. Well, this is happening because, I know because, it's happening because, I say this, halacha hu biyadua Esav son Eliyakov. That's a fact. Now, what does it mean? Turn to page 2. It's a Yalkut Shimoni in Baaloscha. Same thing, quotes the same Maimer Chazal, Vayishakehu, Shalom Nashko B'chalibo, Rab Shimon ben Yochai Yomer, Vahalo biyadua She'esav son Eliyakov, Elonev Churachmav Ba'ososhav and Ashko B'chalibo. Notice a lushan in the Yalkut Shimoni is not halacha. He doesn't use the word halacha. He uses the word biyadua. Sigivust, sangenumen, it's pashtus, that Esav is sone liyakov. There's a Maritz Chayis in Brachis on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. The Maritz Chayis there, there's the Gemara is talking about Al Yifter Adam Echavero Elamitoch Dvar Halacha. Al Yifter Adam Echavero, when you say goodbye to somebody, you don't just say, hi, great, nice to see you, have a great life, but you should cherish the Gulpairish and Mitoch Kach Zachrehu. And what follows, the example that the Gemara gives, is not a Dvar Halacha, but what is understood to be a Dvar Agoda. It doesn't seem to be a halachic issue. It seems to be a beautiful vort. He left him with a beautiful vort. So the Maritz Chayis has a whole mahalach that even something that is a Dvar Agoda can also be referred to as halacha. Ayin Berabenu Yonah, Shalo Goras Kan Mitoch Dvar Halacha, V'ulai de'ein nachon haraya me'rav kahana shalo higid lo dvar halacha rag dvar agada. So you're not going to say halacha because it's an agada. But, however he says, achein matzinu gamkein ha-perish in yonei agada can also be mechunim b'loshon halacha. And he quotes our Maimer Chazal and our Rashi at the end, Ra'isi b'sifri pashas ba'aloscha. Rashi quoted it in Chumash, Nokod avi shakeo alocha biyadua she'esav sonei liyakov, haray degam alinyane agoda no fail sham halacha. What does it mean, halacha biyadua esav sonei? It's a halacha, what you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, what you're not allowed to eat it, you can't shake it, you can't, what's the halacha? It's not a halacha, it's not the kind of a language that we normally would associate with this kind of a statement. No, it doesn't matter. It's an agada. It's not a halachic text. But mach nishreis, because it doesn't matter, because I can call this also a halach. And it's quoted in the Torah Tamim and Parshas Pinchas on the left-hand side. The same discussion that even something which is considered to be agada, not strictly halacha in the sense in which we understand it, can also be considered to be called a halach. I found an interesting tshuva of Rav Moshe on page 3, where Rav Moshe is medayik in the significance of why do we use the word halacha. So you go, okay, so you're telling me that an agada could also be called a halacha. But why call it a halacha? Why do you have to call it a halacha? Rav Moshe has this great tshuva on page 3, in Chashem Mishpat Chelek Beis. The issue is that Jews in England were not getting their due from the government. Jewish schools apparently were not getting the kind of support from the English government that they felt that they deserved. And the question that they asked Rav Moshe is, could they go to authorities outside of England to put pressure on the English authorities to do what they, the Jews, felt was right with regard to the kind of support that they felt was coming to them for their schools? And Rav Moshe is very nervous, because you're going to arouse Eva. Eva is a lashon in the Gemara, generally means enmity or hatred. You're going to arouse them. You're going to go get the English authorities in trouble because somebody else is going to come to tain it to them. It's not going to be good for you. I don't think you should do it. Shavada yesh lochash, in the middle of this tshuva, the line beginning, lebate sefer shel Yehudim. Shavada yesh lochash la'atolas eva memshalah la'yehudim. Sheze efshu shachash v'sholem yavi litotzaos lotovos bahar b'inyanim. It's not going to end well if they're going to feel pressure that somebody else is going to be mavaza them, that they're not doing what's right. So now everybody knows, and they're just going to take it out on us, and it's not a good thing. Next line. Shehasino li Yisrael zot Rav Moshe. Tzorech leido shehasino li Yisrael mikol ha'umos hi gedola gam. You think they love you? You think they treat you well? You think they respect you? You should know that in the Etzem there is a sinner. Ukvara marti zotra Moshe al haloshon shehevi Rashi beperish hachomish parshas vayishlach. The pasuk that we just read, the Rashi that we just started with. Al kro davi shakehu. Amr Rav Shimon bar Yochai halachi biyadua she'esav sonei liyakov. Demat shayach zeh lahalacha. All right, I feel better that I could call it halacha even though it's agada. But why call it agada? Say it straight. What do you have to go like this and be somehow justified the term halacha? What does it mean? Zokra Moshe Dehu, Kemosha halacha lo mishtanes, kach sinas esav liyakov lo mishtanes. Halacha is immutable. Halacha is unchanging. Halacha is constant. Halacha is permanent. Halacha doesn't go anywhere. Asher mipiv anu chayim. We live our lives with this. That's what it is. So we have to don and the gedolei ha'peskim and all the generations how to apply it. But halacha is not negotiable. Just like halacha is not negotiable, this says Rav Moshe, the kemosha halacha is immutable. Lo mishtanes, kach sinas esav liyakov lo mishtanes. The af elu shenoa goes ba'of and tov, sin asan gedola be'etz. So I think at the end of the day, it's a metzias. I was born in America. I benefit very much from America. I have incredible akar sato for America. Rav Moshe famously called America the Medinas HaChesed. But at the end of the day, there's something going on here that transcends our understanding and my understanding and my comfort level. There's sort of a fact. It's a fact that we have to be careful. For whatever reason, there's no explanation here. It's not mipnei. There's not a justification. There's not a rationale. Azoyedis, that's a mitzvah. Turn to page 4. I think this was also in your packet. The Gemara Masachas Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos wants to know what is the procedure for conversion. So if a ger comes to you, or comes to a bezdin, and says, I want to become a prospective ger, and says, I want to become a proselyte, Tona Rabbana, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, Masachas Yevamos, Ger Shabo Leiskar Bizman Azeh, Omrin Lo, Maro Isa Shabasa Leiskaya. What's wrong with you? Why do you want to become a convert? Ia Toyodea, She Yisrael Bizman Azeh, Devuyim, Dechufim, Schufim, What's wrong with you? Don't you know that the Jews are afflicted, that the Jewish people are oppressed, and the Jewish people are downtrodden and they're harassed? Why do you have to be part of this people? When is this statement said? It's a Beferish Gemara. Ger Shabbat Leisgayer, Bizman Azeh. What's the Bizman Azeh? During Talmudic times? It's not during Talmudic times. Bizman Azeh, Bizman Azeh. Every time they learn the Gemara, every door, Ger Shabbat Iskar Bizman Hazeh, it's a Metzias, it's a reality. Klal Yisrael, don't you know the Chufim, the Chuyim, the Vuchim, Schufim, the Turafim? What's wrong with you? And it's quoted La Halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam on page 5 in Hilchos Isurei Bia, Perek Yud Dalet, the Rambam picks up this Gemara and puts it into the Mishnah Torah. Ketzad Mekablen Gerei Tzedek. You find that they really talk a minute l'shem shemayim. They're erlich, they're sincere, they're serious, there's no ulterior motive. Omrim lo, at that point you say, Maru isa shabasa lizgayer? Ia ta yodeya she yisrael bizman hazeh, devuyim, dechufim, mesuchafim, meturafim, v'yisurim bo'an alei. So that's the reality. What do we do about this reality? So what are we supposed to do? We're living in a complicated world. So the Rambam continues, and Allah Chedal, what do we tell such a ger who says, you know what, afal pike, you know what, I know I got it, but I still feel that I want to hitch my wagon to the caravan of Jewish destiny. I want to be a part of Klal Yisrael. What do we tell him? V'omrim lo Allah Chedal.
So
it's not too difficult. Because we want them to be able to exist. If we brought many Puranios, then Chas V'Shalom, we wouldn't be able to exist. We have a haftacha. We have an amazing haftacha. The haftacha is that Klal Yisrael isn't going anywhere. The haftacha is that we're here to stay. And even though things look difficult, and as a matter of fact are difficult, that's it. We're here. We're not going to go anywhere. And Hashem has whatever Hashem's chesbonos are, but our existence and our ongoing, constant future existence is absolutely assured. And so we shouldn't despair and think that we're hanging by a hair, chas v'shalom, and that this will lead to this and this will lead to this, chas v'shalom. We have a haftacha from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we will persevere, and whatever is happening to us, there's a cheshbon. The Rambam in Igeres Taman on the left-hand side, the Jews in the Yemen, the end of the 12th century, were really beset with terrible challenges and persecutions. And they're really worried and they're nervous, and it's sad. It's sad when you understand the challenges that they faced. Greater challenges, much greater challenges than we face right now in 2020 in America. And they write to the Rambam, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, give us chizok, help us. Hold our hands during these difficult times. And the Rambam gives them chizuk. Ukvar yiftiach lanu Hashem yisala. In the middle of the left side of page 5, al yedei neviyav, she'anu lo nechale v'lo nechached, we're not going to be destroyed and we're not going to be forgotten, we're not going to perish. V'lo nedar mihiyos uma na'ale. And we're never going to disappear, we're not going to stop, not just being an uma, not just that we're going to exist, but we're going to be an uma na'ale. Tzavtocha, kvar hiftiach lanu Hashem. Doesn't get better than that. Ein boikin min ha-mazbeach ulamayla, ein boikin min ha-rabodish ulaylam ulamayla. God promised us. And you should know, kindalach in Yemen, it's going to be okay. The rabodish ulaylam is here for you and is going to help you. Ukashem shalo yitochen l'ta'er bitul mitzuyaso yisala, kach lo yitochen la'achidenu l'chanosenu min ha'olam. It's an amazing tushtel. Just like God is eternal, it's not shayach to be masig that somehow God will no longer exist. It's impossible. So too, kach, tushtel, equivalent. It's impossible to imagine that the Jewish people will no longer exist. So we are in. We are in. We have a haftacha, baruch Hashem. We have a haftacha that we will be here. And I think it's important for us to hold on to that. Now that has to do with the klal. It doesn't have to do with the yachid. We have to do whatever we can to make sure that we do the right thing and we behave. Whatever is biyodenu is something that we need to take responsibility for. But we're living as part of a ummah. We're part of a faith and we're part of a community and we're part of a religion and we're part of a people that is assured of eternal existence. This notion that somehow Jews are able to survive in spite of all of the tremendous challenges and difficulties is recognized also by Gentiles. I give you an example on the left side of page 6. There was a very prominent Russian dissident by the name of Nicholas Berdyaev, who was a Russian religious philosopher. And I think it's important, I don't know, I would say, Lekayim Masha Nemar Toru Mada. I think it's important to give a perspective from this view to incorporate this into this presentation. Nicholas Berdyaev was a Russian dissident. He died in exile in Russia in 1948, and he had a very wise perspective. I remember, line number 5, top left, page 6, I remember a Gentile, he's living in Russia, he's a dissident, I'm sure he's a fine person. I remember how the materialist interpretation of history, when I attempted in my youth to verify it by applying it to the destinies of peoples, broke down in the case of the Jews, where destiny seemed absolutely inexplicable from the materialistic standpoint. Jews continue to exist, nothing to do with materialism. Adarabah, you'd think, lahefach, if the issue is materialism, then that would be a reason to militate against the ongoing existence of the Jews. And indeed, according to the materialistic and positivist criterion, this people ought long ago to have perished. Its survival is a mysterious and wonderful phenomenon, demonstrating that the life of this people is governed by a special predeterminism, transcending the processes of adaptation expounded by the materialistic interpretation of history. The survival of the Jews could have written by any one of us. The survival of the Jews, their resistance to destruction, their endurance under absolutely peculiar conditions, and the fateful role played by them in history, all of these point to the particular and mysterious foundation of their destiny. Jews, Nebuch, we have gone through from ancient through modern times. we have gone through, we have been repeatedly forced to confront demographic dispersion, political disintegration, economic dislocation, social alienation, psychological oppression, subtle as well as crude discrimination, and worst of all, brute physical annihilation. And you know what? Nisim v'neflos. Nisim v'neflos was still here. And this Gentile chapped that it can't just be understood based on any kind of a criteria that he was accustomed to. There is something mysterious. There is something inexplicable. There is something fateful. Epis tutzach here. Something is going on. And the issue is the Rabbonu Shel Olam, the Haftacha. He didn't know about the Rambam and Igeres Teman. He didn't know about the Rambam and Hilchos Isuri Bia. We have a Haftacha. We have a connection with the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And that's what keeps us going as a people, and that what needs to keep us going also as individuals. I bring you on the right side of page 6 and page 7 something that perhaps you already had a chance to see. So I want to move now, that's the Netziv. The Netziv has a whole essay at the end of his Perush on Shir HaShirim. It's like, depending on which edition you use, it could be a 20, 30 page essay. And he starts, why is there anti-Semitism? Pashit Geret. In the end of the 19th century. Why is there anti-Semitism? There was anti-Semitism at the end of the 19th century, like there has been in every generation. I want to now move to Divrei Chizuk, and I want to share with you two thoughts that I had in mind, relevant to helping us bear the challenges that we face, recognizing that we've been there before, recognizing that it's been worse before, with the hope and the tefillah that Amir Hashem, with Siyata Deshmaya, we should be able to persevere. We're holding now at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. We've been introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to keep us going now for the next number of months, for almost a whole year, all the way through until Parshas Vezos Habrach. How are we introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu as a Manig Yisrael? Right side of page 8. Gimel and Perek Dalet in Sefer Shmos. So he is at the Sneh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him at the Sneh and says, Vayemer Hashem in Pasuk Zayin, I'm going to read the underlying parts. Vayemer Hashem ro re'isi es oni ami Hashem b'mitzrayim ves tzakosim shomati ki odati es machovav v'ered la'atzilo miyad mitzrayim, it's time for me to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. V'hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael bo'elai, and Moshe, you're the man. V'ato l'cho I've had it. It's been many years. I've heard already for a long time the terrible cries of the Jews. I have decided that the time is up. I'm going to take them out. I'm not going to take them out. I'm going to take them out via you. I'm sending you. Go back. You came from Egypt. Go back to Egypt. It's time to take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? No sooner does Hashem say, go back to Mitzrayim. V'yamer Moshe l'Hashem, no, what? What do you, excuse me? Mi anoichi ki eilech al paro? What, me? Who am I? I can't do this. Hashem says, don't worry, ki eye imach. Don't forget me, I'm God. I'm God, and I'm telling you, I'm going to be with you. It's going to be okay. V'yamer Moshe Elokim, no. But if I come to the Jewish people, and I ask them, and I tell them, and they want to know who you are, what am I going to tell them? So I don't know what I'm going to tell them. So it's not going to work because I don't have what to say. So Hashem says, "I'm pasuk yedalev v'yomer lokim Moshe." No, I'll tell you what to say. V'yomer et oda lokim Moshe. There's a whole mahalach. There's a whole script. Here's what you say. Here's what you do. Here's how you convey it. And don't worry about it. Pasuk yudches v'shamu lekolecha. They're going to listen to you. Uvasa atav zikne. So it's going to work. It's going to all be fine. 10 psukim of a speech that the Rabbanu Shalom tells Moshe, relax, it's great. I'm God, I'm going to be with you, and I'm giving you a haftacha. V'shamu lekolecha. Vayan Moshe, perek dal pasuk aleph vayomer. I mean, God's omer and children. I mean, I know you're God. Yeah, I know that. But v'hein lo yaminu li, v'lo yishmu b'koli. You think v'shamu lekolecha? I know better. I'm telling you, they're not going to listen. And what's going to be? Vayomer elav Hashem, what are you talking about? Mazeh biyodecha. and he says, here's what you do with the snake and with the staff and with the hand and with the leprosy. You think he's good to go? Pasigud v'yomer Moshe el Hashem, b'Hashem lo yish devarim anoichi. I'm not articulate, I'm not well-spoken, I'm not sophisticated, I'm not a speaker, I can't do this. And then v'yomer b'Hashem, shlachna b'yat tishlach. At which point, finally, v'yicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. Finally, in Pasuk Yudalid, v'yicharaf Hashem b'Moshe, Moshe, stop it! This conversation is over. We're done. You're going. End of conversation. I have three questions. First question is, where is Moshe Rabbeinu's Ben Adam Lamakom? I mean, if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam comes to you and says to you, go. You go? We're talking to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? No, I don't know. I can't. Not me. I'm not sophisticated. What am I going to tell them? What do you mean, v'lo yishma'u b'koli? Hashem just said, v'shamu l'kolecha. Where's your derech eretz? You know better than God? God said, v'shamu l'kolecha. Where's your respect? Where's your derech eretz? We're talking to Rabbeinu Shalom. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu's ben Adam l'makom? Second question. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu's ben Adam l'chaveira? Moshe Rabbeinu knows very well what's going on in Mitzrayim. How did Moshe Rabbeinu end up where he ended up? V'yifen kol v'chol v'yarki enish. He sees a Mitzri, Makeh Shivri Me'achov, Vayifen Kovachov Yachetz a Mitzri, gets into trouble. Moshe Rabbeinu is not callous or indifferent to the fate of his co-religionists in Egypt. He knows exactly what's going on. Every day he ran away. It's now 60 years. Every day in the bucolic, beautiful, gorgeous, peaceful surroundings in which he finds himself, he is haunted. Oh my God, today Nebuch, Jews are being killed. Today, Nebuch, babies are being stuffed into pyramids. Oh my God, I know by me it's great, but I can't stand it. The Nebuch, they're suffering, and finally the Rabbeinu Shalom comes and says, go. He should have said, God, where you been till now? I'm plotting. I got to get back fast, quick. And instead, no, I can't, and I hear and I hear and mices. Every dray, more Jews are being killed. Every time he darshans, more Jews are suffering. Chazal tell us that this conversation lasted for a week. For an entire week. A whole week. Nebuchadnezzar could have ratified Yiddish in the Shabbos. Where is his Ben Adam? L'chaveira. And the third question is, what does shlachna b'yatishlach mean? It's a mudna kind of a lashon. Shlachna, send please, at the hands of who you're going to send. Very enigmatic. Rashi says, Aaron. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer on the left side of page 8 says, Eliyahu Hanavi. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send Eliyahu Hanavi. He said, Hashem, why are you sending me? You should send Eliyahu Hanavi. Amar lefanu Rabbanu, kolo elam em shlachna biyat tishlach biyat oso ha'ish, sha'ata osed l'shloach. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm sorry. Someday I will send Eliyahu. I'm going to send lo so ishat omer ani shalech lo sid laval Yisrael hine enochi shalech lochem es Eliyahu Hanavi. But now you have to go. What's going on? Ma inyan Eliyahu ti yitzias Mitzrayim. Many years ago, maybe it was 40 years ago, I was sitting on Tisha B'Av in the Maimonides school in Boston, and there is a half a line in one of the kinnis that makes a reference to this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It alludes to the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Joseph P. Soloveitchik said the following. He said it in about 7 seconds. And here's how I understand what he said. Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, listen, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen if I take the Jews out of Egypt. You know what's going to happen? I'll take them out of Egypt. And then we'll wander in the desert for 40 years. And then Baruch Hashem will come into Eretz Yisrael. A couple hundred years later, we're going to have, Baruch Hashem will have a Beis HaMikdash. But the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and Jews will go into Golus. I know it will be a short Golus. And then they'll come back and there'll be a second Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbeinu Shlom, the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And that Golus is going to be enormous. We're going to have the Asura Rugei Malchus in the 2nd century. We're going to have the Crusades at the end of the 11th century. We're going to have the Crusades again into the 12th century. We're going to have the burning of the Talmud in the 13th century. We're going to have the Black Death massacres in the 14th century, we're going to have the Khmelnytsky massacres in the 16th century, we're going to have the Spanish expulsion at the end of the 15th century, we're going to have the Kishinev pogrom at the beginning of the 20th century, and then in the middle of the 20th century, there's going to be a Shoah that's going to decimate 6 million Jews, and then at the end of the 20th century, buses are going to be blowing up in Israel, and people are going to get knifed, Kinderlach, and people in the Beis Medrash are going to get knifed. God, do me a favor. Don't send me. You need to send Eliyahu HaNavi. Who is Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi is the Mevaser HaGeula. Eliyahu HaNavi is the harbinger of redemption. Send Eliyahu HaNavi. We're done. It's over. We're finished. Why are you sending me? Bnei Yisrael will be able to leave Mitzrayim. Eliyahu HaNavi will take them directly to Eretz Yisrael. They will be able to live in Israel. Lo'ad u'lenetzach netzachim. I beg you, don't take me for a week. He's fighting. He's not fighting for a week. He's arguing with the Ribbono Shel Olam for all eternity. It's dafka, the Avas Yisrael. It's dafka, the Ben Adam Lachavero of Moshe Rabbeinu that gave him the gumption, that gave him the capacity to stand up to the Ribbono Shel Olam again and again and say no, and say no. Can't be. Dafka because he loved the Jews. That's what gave him the inner yecholus, the koiches, to fight keneged the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. And what does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam say? I'm sorry, Moshe. It doesn't work that way. Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't work that way. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not what life is. That's not what Metzias is. That's not national life, and that's not personal life. Someday I'm going to send Elio. But everything goes with a process. Now I'm sending you. And sometimes it's easier, and sometimes it's harder. And sometimes we move forward, and sometimes we retreat, and sometimes it's sideways. Life is a process. The unfolding of history is a process. Jewish history is a process. Things take time. Sometimes it's better, and sometimes it's not better. That's the answer of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu. When we face difficult times, we understand that we're in a process, we're in a tahalich, we're in a process of Jewish history. And a process means that it's not. Eliyahu HaNavi comes, we're done, we're out of here, perfect, we're in Israel, we're done, happy forever. We don't go from 0 to 104 seconds. It's a bishala adrei, shtikala sideways, we get into a roadblock. It's problems, there are problems. It's built into the Metzias. It's built into our history. Yeah, I know things are difficult, but we're part of something. We're on a road. We're on a journey. We're on a journey of Klal Yisrael to Amir Tzashem to the end of days. And it applies not only to Klal Yisrael, it applies to each one of you at the beginning of this month. We all want to be there already. Don't we want to already reach the promised land? We already want to be serious and happy and complete, and we want to be B'nai Torah, and we want to understand the sugya, and we want to have wonderful relationships, and we want to be able to have professions, we want to be able to have whatever we have. After all, we're living, we want to have a good life. And it's not so pushy. It's not all of a sudden we go from here to here to here to here and everything is great. Everything is a process. This is very important for us. When you hit a rifyon, when you hit a roadblock, it's inevitable we're going to hit roadblocks. Okay? That's part of the direction, the journey, the stuff of life. It's not Eliyahu-like, it's Moshe-like, with all of the brachas and with all of the complexity. I want to conclude with one final Divrei Chizuk on page 9. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Beis Amid Beis, the Sanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Meisim Shehechye Yecheskel. What happened to the Meisim Shehechye Yecheskel? We read on Pesach in the Haftarah about the Valley of the Dry Bones, and Yecheskel has this image that they're bones, and then the bones get together with skin and sinews and flesh and veins and arteries, and then they become a body, and it's like Tchias HaMeisim, Meisim Shehechye Yecheskel. The Gemara here picks up where the Navi leaves off. So what happened to them? Okay, they're walking around. Now what? What happened to the Meisim Shehechye Yecheskel, Rabbi Eliezer Omer? Mesim Shechiye Yecheskel Umdu al Radlehem. Va Umdu Shiro Mesu. Hi! I'm back. Thank you. And then they died. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. Skip a couple of lines on the line. Rabbi Elazar ben Asher Rabbi Yosef Aglili Emer. Meisim she'echid ye Yecheskel. Olu la'eretz Yisrael. V'nasu nashim. V'holidu bonam u'bonos. Wow, what a life. They went to Israel. And they got married and they had children. Dairi dairis. Amad Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser al Ragla v'amar. Ani me b'nei b'neihem. I'm a grandchild. V'halolu tefillin. She'iniach li aviyaba mehen. And here are the tefillin that my Zayde gave me. I heard many years ago from my father, Zichrono Levracha. My father was a chaplain in the American Army. He was the first American chaplain to liberate a concentration camp. He liberated the Buchenwald concentration camp as an American soldier, a chaplain, on April 11th, 1945. And his whole life, the narrative of his life and of mine growing up, was stories about what it was that he saw. And he interpreted this Gemara in terms of the survivors of the Shoah. Mason Shehechia Yecheska. Those who survived, what happened to them? What happened to those who survived? And there are three categories. The first category is Amdu al Raglan va Amru Shira Umesu. They're happy to be alive, but they left the Jewish people. Umesu, in terms of Nitzchi Yisrael, they were gone. I'm not judging them. I have no right to judge them. I don't know what I would have done. But they're no longer part of our people. They suffered. They saw, they suffered, they couldn't figure out a way how to have a continued connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. They decided not to hitch their wagons to the caravan of Jewish destiny. Mesu. The second is, they went to Eretz Yisrael, and they built a state. One quarter, 25% of those Jews who were living in Israel in May of 1948 were Holocaust survivors. 25% of those who were present, of the 600,000 when the State of Israel were founded, were Holocaust survivors. Olu l'Eretz Yisrael, v'nasu nashim, v'olidu banam u'banos. Great! Great, but not full. Amad Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser, third category. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser gets up and says, Kindalach, it's great. Thank God it's not me, so you're part of Jewish destiny. And you went and you made sure that you would have families, you'd be maimed, doiris, and you had faith that there would be a future. Great. But nothing is going to last unless, you see what I'm holding? V'halalu tefillin. She'iniach li aviyaba mehen. I'm holding my Zaydi's tefillin. What is the key for Nitzchiyus Yisroel? What do we do when we're faced with the most brutal phenomenon, example of anti-Semitism in Jewish history forever? It was worse then than it is now in the United States. Meisim she'echei Yecheskel Nebuch, what they saw. And they walked out. Some of them rejected. Some of them went to Israel. Great. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the key is v'halolu tefillin. Is the tefillin, is the leichter, the candlesticks, is the esrog box, that somehow my Zaydi was able to hide, and I found it, and I'm holding it. Halalu, here it is, I'm holding it up. At the end of the day, what is it that keeps us? What is it that sustains us when we're faced with difficulty and when we're faced with challenges? I know we saw Peter Stuyvesant and Ulysses S. Grant and Father Coughlin, and we saw the Rashi, and we saw the Alkut Shimoni, and we saw the Maritz Chayis, and we saw the Torah Tamima, and especially Rab Moshe about Halacha, Biyodua, Esav, Sone, Liyakov, and we saw the Rambam about Bizman Azed, Chufim, Zechufim, Schufim, Miturafim, but we have a Chizuk. The Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah gave us Chizuk. In the Igeres Teman, the Rambam gave us chizuk. The greatest chizuk is, in spite of all the challenges, v'halolu tefillin, she'hiniach li aviyaba mehen. You are heirs to an extraordinary nesor. You're sitting in this Beis Medrash because Talmud Torah matters to you, because Yerah Shemayim matters to you. You chose to come to this yeshiva because it matters to you, because you have parents and Bubbies and Zaydis, or come from a general Mesorah of what it means to be Meisa Nefesh for the Jewish people. You're blessed to live during this time. Yes, there are challenges. But ultimately, the way to overcome is to hold on to that tefillin, to take your Gemara and hold it up high, and dance with it and be proud of it, and devote yourselves fully, b'lev nefesh, to continuing the Talmud Torah, the Yerushalayim, the Mesorah of our Bubbies and our Zaydis, and their Bubbies and Zaydis, and so that in Mirza Hashem together, we will put this Parsha in our history behind, and we will be able to go with full joy and full-throated enthusiasm to the days of Eliyahu Hanavi, to the harbinger of redemption, b'mheira b'yomeinu. Amen.
Together, you need to have a heckler. But if one of the two guys is a boy,